Thanks for downloading the NAB AFL Fantasy Podcast for Round 12.
Mark, kick goal!
Nice and simple, I like it. This week we talk about one thing and one man, my boy, Rocky!
And Clokey!
Welcome to the NAB AFL Fantasy Podcast. I'm Roy, I coach Destroy, and I'm here with Warnie.
Doom, 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 the coach of the Warn Dogs.
Oh my God.
Oh my God!
Calvin!
Coach of the Calvinator!
What the hell was that, Warn?
Well, I'm just, at the moment, I'm a machine.
Yeah.
That sounded like a machine. No, I'm in form.
One week is not form, mate.
I'm walking around with a bit of swagger, back inside the top 1,000.
One week is luck, awesome. Why? You had a good score or something, did you?
Yeah, you know I've got a good
bloody
score.
Bloody oath, and so does the whole Twitter world, because people were writing to me, are you near Warnie? Can you shut him up? They were sick of the bragging, Warn Dog.
Well, I was probably a little bit surprised, actually, for the round.
So were we.
I was doing so well, but it all started off nicely on Friday night, but we'll get to that
later.
We will.
Calvin, how did you go?
I thought I did well, but obviously not as good as old Fancy Pants over there.
Yes,
I scored 23-18, about 30 points behind the dog. I needed Cox to come home strong.
Yep. It surprised me how well you were going.
What's that mean?
Well, I just thought, wow, my score was that big. I thought it was so good.
Untouchable.
And then I thought, hang on, if Cox has a ton here, you'd overtake me.
Yeah, I'm not into bragging or that sort of stuff. All right, Destroy, what about you?
I went pretty well. I got 22-54, which was a pretty solid effort, and my weekly improvement in rankings continued. Now, just before we move on, a mate of mine, Justin, he actually brought this to my attention, Calvin.
Yep.
If you hadn't have been bullied out of trading Reece Shore, you would have knocked off Warn Dog this week.
Is that right?
Yes. So you should have stuck to your guns.
I shouldn't have to put up with this sort of pressure in the workplace.
No, exactly. So Warn Dog did that to you, and then he's laughing at the end of it.
Oh, you dirty dog.
Exactly, dog. It's not good. Now, boys, +3, -3. Warn Dog, can you give us a +3?
Can I give you one? Or do you want 22 of them?
Some of your best, right?
I had 13 players score over the ton this week.
I'm not counting or anything.
Which is
just off
big.
The top of your head?
You know, just going through there. My midfield, you know, pretty solid. Six massive tons in there, actually. That was six. Pretty big ones.
Welcome to the Warn Dog Fantasy Show. This is where I talk about my team.
Anyway, I had it was hard to pick. No, it wasn't really hard to pick because it came down to Friday night. I was I didn't have anyone play on Thursday night, so I hadn't used any of my trades.
That is handy for you because you melt down.
Yeah,
mental meltdowns on a Thursday night.
When there's a Thursday night game, I'll go and do my two trades then because it might involve one of those players and then whatever happens. And then on Friday night, as we know, Dane Swan was a late withdrawal, so 90 minutes before, so at that 11th hour, we're all panicking. I was actually at the airport at the time, and so I was doing my trades on the phone.
God, you would have been sweating bullets. Can you imagine it?
It wasn't good. So then I decided, all week I was going to get rid of this man, but I decided to get rid of Swanee instead, and that was a thing. But I held on to Travis Cloak for his 150 points and 5-goal massive effort, and he repaid the faith that I showed in him.
Stop.
What?
I've had enough of this, and I'll tell you why. It's not just me, it's the fantasy public of
what?
Your misleading trade advice.
You've called him out on this before.
Yep.
It's not misleading.
Deceptive.
Okay.
Sneaky.
Okay.
Sneaky.
Underhanded.
Okay. Here's the thing. Anyone that took my
tactical
trade advice, I said that I was getting, who did I say I was getting rid of?
Filthy.
For Lacroix. Would they have been disappointed if they did that?
Yes. What a wasted trade.
Oh, well,
yep. Good one.
Lacroix was good.
He was, but he didn't get 150 and it cost him a trade.
This week when you tell people who to trade, will you go through with it yourself?
Not if stuff happens before lockout.
What, like common sense happens?
Like, if Dane Swan, who's in terrible form at the moment anyway, so it was a smart trade to get rid of him, I'm thinking. I'll try to go through with it. But how many do your Monday trades stick every single week?
I find myself obliged to it. I have to. I usually stick with it, yes.
Well, maybe when you post your little Roy's Trade Talk article, I know it gets more hits than everything else on the AFL website, but I'm going to say TBA.
Oh, Oh, that is some of your best. Okay, Calvin, plus three.
Well, I said I was getting in Tex this week, and I actually went through and did it. Tex Walker.
Yeah,
no,
actually
I
got him in the week before. No, you I got him in the week before. Liar!
So what's he averaging, about 70 for you over
nah,
the last
2 weeks? Tex, out. I'm now at him for 2 weeks. Yes. 116 to be among a bunch of players this week that could have got the pat on the back at Team Calvinator. But I'll tell you what, he, as we said at the start, when we saw his first game, he scored that 79 you know, a few weeks back.
He looked good.
He looked a bit like Rewalt, pushing up and taking these plus sixes.
Well, he's
so
trimmed down. We said he'd be up the ground.
12 months out of the game, he's come back pretty keen. And that's it, that running up the ground.
Yeah.
He'll get a few more marks, I think, this year than what he has
You've
in the past.
You've got to love the way Tex goes about it. That's a deserving plus three.
Yep.
And
well done, Tex.
For
now,
rewarding him.
Destroy. You already told us in the intro. Come on.
Well, honestly, as if it wasn't obvious, I'm going to give it to the best player in the league at the moment, especially in AFL fantasy. Rockliffe.
Yes.
Oh my goodness. If you don't mind, he's just racked up a 150 on the back of back-to-back 140s.
Yes.
He's in unbelievable form. Now, this guy, he's getting tagged. He is getting tagged and he's pumping out these scores. He is just relentless. The whole game just works, works, works. And he tackles like a machine.
As I said, I've crunched a few numbers. He's averaging over 12 tackles a game in his last 3 weeks.
There you go. That's what I mean. His work rate.
You can't tag that.
You can't.
You can't tag a tackler.
No.
Because that's the worry, though, Destroyer. You're a little bit worried about his couple of opponents
he's got coming up.
No,
he's got
Pickin, not at all.
He's got Pickin,
yep.
who obviously shut down Ablett the other week, and, of course, Crowley.
Shut down Ryan Griffin.
Don't put Rockliffe in Ablett's category. In the first half, Tag is do an okay job.
Yes.
Okay, but he never needs a Twitter rant at halftime. He'll still get to his 50, and he'd be averaging 90 in the second half the last 3 weeks, Rockliffe.
Yep.
How do you like those apples?
Yeah.
He comes home like an absolute steam train.
You don't even have him, do you, Calvin?
I don't have him, no.
I don't have him either.
He'd be a target for you, wouldn't he?
Yeah, but now he's getting pretty
expensive. Actually,
he's
getting very expensive.
Where are you going to find the money?
619.
Yeah, you almost can't at the moment.
Yeah, 619 grand he is, and that probably puts him, let me have a look, he's the most expensive player in the competition by a mile.
Yeah,
and so you need a bit of cash in your bag just to go for a premium.
He's almost like a 2 week project to get him in, isn't he?
Oh, big time. And he's got to be on the top of your list.
Yeah, he certainly does. But like with Rocky, those three scores, just note this, those three scores are at his home, at the Gabba.
Yep.
So he really, really loves the Gabba. I have no doubt that he's going to be good elsewhere. Like I think they're playing down in Melbourne this week. But just keep in mind, he loves being at home.
Roy!
Yes?
Yes, he is playing. He's playing at Etihad
yep.
against the Bulldogs, and his numbers against them are ridiculous.
What a surprise.
All right, let's get into some of the negatives then now. Calvin.
Pass.
In your... Was there anyone in your side
that
deserves a negative three?
Well,
a little bit of a kick in the bum,
he
mate.
He probably doesn't deserve it, as he is a rookie in Colin Jasny, but he ended up with 57.
Rising star win the last week.
I'm pretty hard on him. But
you are.
He had 36 at the quarter.
Oh.
And 21 for the rest of the game. So look, he's a rookie. You've got to expect this from time to time. Well, I thought when he had 36 at the quarter, I was like, here comes a sneaky 120.
Yeah. I think he was his role change because he's, you know, they love his attack and he kicked a goal early. But that Cameron started to be a real threat for the Crows.
Yep.
And I think he was in charge of locking that down a little bit.
But of course, he's there as a stepping stone for me. So as soon as I find some cash, he'll go to someone else. Now, Warndog, what is your negative three?
My negative three is someone that I'm a little bit... It's, again, a bit like your Colin Jasny. I don't really want to put this out because it's really hard for me in a side that was so good to give a negative three.
Yep.
But the lowest score on my ground was Sam Jacobs. He was injured.
Since when is it... It's negative three. It's not called lowest scorer, highest scorer.
Oh, well,
you can't just go and give it to your lowest
scorer. You know what I call this?
Let me go through and find someone. Maybe Gary Ablett should get it for only getting 98 in my midfield.
I think that's more appropriate than
Jacobs. You know what I call this Jacobs incident? Karma
bomb! Yes.
You've been kissed on the Jacobs for too long.
I want a negative three. You cannot give it to Jacobs.
Right. Negative three, all right. Can it be a bench player?
No.
Because Xavier Ellis getting subbed out.
No, Warndog.
That's expected,
I suppose. He got injured.
What a surprise.
Yeah. Oh, he did, and that's Warnie's trying to hand off another injured player.
A negative
Dalhouse.
Dalhouse. Having bloody Hallahan on my ground for 64.
No,
is that
he did
fair?
His job.
Oh my God, he's got no negative
far out. No, you can't pass this week.
You've got a ridiculous good team.
Kibbo 88, Jizzy was good to watch at the Dreamtime game too. Oh God, he's very excited. All right.
Okay, yeah.
Roy, have you got a negative three then?
Yes, I do.
Or are you going to give like a negative 3/4 of a three like Calvin because he had 3/4 of a bad
mine,
game?
Mine is a clear cut. Polek has been averaging about 90.
Yes.
And he copped a bit of attention and, well, he did not cope well with it. He got 38 and that was with a inverted commas comeback last quarter where he even kicked a goal. So he was hopeless. I think he's actually going to return to form next week. To send a tagger to him was just...
It was bizarre.
It was bizarre, but he has been offering a lot just floating around as that loose guy. So tactically, I think it was a good move. Will it have happen every week? Highly unlikely. But 38... Rage trade, bang, gone.
Yeah, I was going to say, negative is he three. Now going to be one of the most traded out players this week?
Yeah, without
has
a doubt.
Has to be. Now, it was interesting on Thursday night, we had our live chat, and we put up a little poll question.
Yeah.
Make sure you join the live chat, 6 p.m. Every Thursday night on afl.com.au. But we put up the question, who would you keep out of Polek and Tyson? Now, both of them have probably been almost pretty similar with their scoring
over the course
last
of
few
the
weeks.
Year. Yep.
Well, but probably of late, I would say.
Yeah,
they've
both had the ability to ton up the last month, haven't they?
And so, and they'd be pretty even on stats, but most people, and I think it was 68% of people, said they'd keep Polek. So, geez, I don't have either of them now.
No.
But yeah, I guess now Polek is definitely on the wrong side of that, and he
without
should be traded. Because he did drop a fair bit of coin as well this week.
And
too,
he's still sitting over that magical 400k mark, so now is the time, I think, to get rid of him.
Premium for him.
The most relevant news going into the final lockout last week was the fact that Swanee was a late withdrawal.
This is 90 minutes before lockout.
I know. Doesn't it throw you into disarray? All those hours of looking at what you're going to do through the week.
There's a little part of me that really loves it. I think there's that
it
little,
makes decisions easier at times.
Yeah, it is.
It is sick
because I just like watching people suffer.
I know. But we had him. So it was a very interesting time, especially you don't have... You know, the hours at hand to research how long they're out for and things like that. So what did you guys actually do with Swanee?
Well, I traded, as I said before, but I went to Brendan Goddard. I was always keen because I read Roy's Trade Talk
every week.
Thanks
for plugging
that. And he's been pumping him up a little bit last couple of weeks. Yep. And so, I went to Goddard. So instead of having the big three Collingwood boys of Pendle, Swan and... Pendle, Swan and Beams.
Yeah.
I've got the big three bombers. I've got Stanton, Goddard and Joe Watson.
Well, I tell you what, their game style justifies that as a big three.
They're not going to play bloody Richmond again
this
week. So,
if you want to check their record against GWS, Dog might have the green vest on next week. I did the same thing. I did the same thing. I went, so I got Goddard in for Swan.
Yep.
Very straight.
No wonder you scored well. You're just doing the same as what I do.
Made a little bit of money out of that.
Made a little bit of coin, right? Yeah. Put a bit of pocket money.
Yeah.
What did you do?
Well, I actually held Swan. So, I traded around it, and I took a bit of a points hit. You know, looking at the scores, we were sort of all on par. You guys would have beaten me anyway, but that extra 50 points would have been... Yep. I would have got that through trading for... I would have gone Goddard as well. But so I was a little bit off the mark this week. But whether that comes back to be a good thing or not is yet to be seen. Because I have held Swan.
Is he going to play this week?
Well, it's funny you might mention that, Warn Dog, because Roy's Rumour Mill actually has a scoop for the week.
Oh, of course it does.
Guess what?
This is early in the show.
Yep, right move to hold him. Pig is back next week.
Is that just... Roy, the fantasy coach who held him talking? Or
this is not like the other well-known rumour mills out there. This one actually has a strike rate where I get one right every now and again. And Swanee is good to play this week, so he'll be fine. And he's coming up against Melbourne. Yes, I hear you. It's a different Melbourne, Roy, different coach, more defensive. Yeah, but Swanee's numbers versus them are ridiculous.
Loves a big game because it's the Monday, Queen's birthday game. He'll...
plenty of time to get over a Friday night vessel, yeah. and he will be ready to go. So, yeah, Swanee's back this week, and he's going to be big.
All right, now, speaking of Swan, let's add an S on it, and let's talk about the Swans.
Oh, Calvin.
Hashtag segue.
Calvin, you should be like one of those headline writers, I reckon.
I definitely should be. Now, there are so many Swans at the moment that are relevant,
yeah.
and at the start of the year, we probably didn't have many of them in.
I know. Did they just mess with our heads probably... Yes. For a five-year period, you know, about
yep.
2 or 3 years ago, where they used to not score themselves and no one used to score against them, these guys are pumping out ridiculous numbers. They're racking up huge stats, huge fantasy points. There is, so, like you said, so many relevant ones that we should be looking to bring in.
Well, let's go through the forward line. Let's have a look at the forward line. Luke Parker, your yeah, boy, he's easily going to be in the top.
Do you know what? Do you know what I call him?
What?
The number one forward in the competition.
That's amazing.
Yep.
Buddy is now relevant. Yeah.
Very relevant.
Buddy. Very relevant.
He's pumped back. About 300s out in a row.
And what about the bird is the word?
Bird is the word.
Oh my goodness.
That's like back to back 130s for Birdie.
He's averaging 118 in the last.
The vest. That's gone. That vest is gone.
Do you remember what happened last year?
Well, you've been a previous bird owner, Calvin.
I've tweeted.
Oh, God. Bird did this about this stage last year. You know, Sean, everyone jumped on him. And
you got on him probably late because that's what you normally do. okay.
And he fell out of the nest very quickly.
He hit every branch on the way down, there, yeah. didn't he?
It wasn't good.
But I tell you what, his role, he is... They're legit midfielder now,
yeah.
and he's not going to get tagged in there when McVeigh, Kennedy, Hanbury, Jack are in there.
Well, 33 touches.
That's what he's doing just, now.
Massive. But he was good. Now that Thursday night game though, they made the Geelong boys.
It was the Cats.
Yeah,
it was the Cats. Yeah. It wasn't GWS. Yeah, wasn't Melbourne.
They had, what was it? they had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 players score over a ton.
With another 3 over 90.
And they were big tons too. So like Malcheski, I don't think he's going to really be on our radar, but he racked up. He had 37 touches.
Oh, yeah.
McGlynn, who is a dual position player now.
Oh, what? Who is?
But then you got Bird, you got your big midfielders in Jack.
DPP Bird.
Jack and Kennedy, who are just awesome and probably should be on the radar. I reckon actually Kieran Jack could be someone underpriced.
I'll tell you what, he's cheap. He's on a big run of 100. Look, he did play a little bit of time forward though, kicking 2 goals, 1.
Yeah, speaking of getting tricked last year, I got on Jack last year and he went through a horrible patch. But yeah, once again, they're playing better.
But I reckon the big one there, I reckon Buddy, look at him. But you could possibly have 3 forwards from the Swans in the forward line, or if you're Roy, you might whack a couple in the midfield just because they're dual positions.
Yeah,
they could be very, very interesting.
Hot team at the moment, obviously the flavour of the month, their scores are just obviously smoking.
Now, news has just come in from the match review panel, and still side bottom, 3 weeks. Well deserved. He probably needed it.
Well, I guess so. He jumped and knocked him out. I guess that's 3. So, yeah, that's fair. If you've got him, he's a pretty unique pick this year, but he's been going all right. You would definitely trade him. If you had him in draft, however, I'd probably just put him on the bench for...
Yep.
You don't want someone else sneaking side bottom if you're in, a big draft where you start to get thin on the quality players.
Now, let's have a look at our draft, because we did our draft on Saturday.
We did. That was good fun.
Afternoon. Yeah. It was good fun. We sat around and all had our little picks. Maybe have a quick chat about who was our number one pick and sort of our strategy.
If you followed on Twitter, we did tweet it out there that the number one pick, Roy, somehow got it.
How the hell did that happen?
Do you know
because
what?
The league commissioner probably rigged it.
Well, there has been whispers about that, but I just had this gut feeling. I knew I was getting number one pick, and I knew who I was going without having to think about it, I might add. Rocky, he went number one, and people are laughing at me, bagging me out. Hey, check the scores this week.
Yep.
Look what he did. That was on the back of the confidence of being picked number one, I think.
Yeah, yep. so you went that. That was a pretty good call.
That was all
midfielders, and I had picked 5. And I was the first one to go away from the midfield.
The big tactical dog.
Well, because we're not playing captains, I thought, yeah, I'll go and try to get a defender and try to get the best defender.
Calvin is draft redundant. What's isn't that? It? It's Calvin's captains.
Oh, exactly. Yeah,
it is. It is. It's just nice to have a time off.
Oh, yeah.
Now, I went in the back line and I was tossing up between Bartell and Cade Simpson. I think both of those will be.
Oh, my God.
Neck.
You didn't.
Yeah, and I went Bartell.
What the hell? His 140s weren't enough for you?
What's that?
His triple doubles?
I know.
Double doubles, whatever he
has. Fantasy Classic, I would choose Simpson all day, I think.
Yeah.
I don't know really what's different about
No, not at all.
He is dual position. Okay. Simpson's not, Roy. Does that sway
you? Extra 20 points.
Not in draft, it doesn't.
No, I went that. And only because the Cats have got a pretty good run from here.
Ah.
And I think that they, well, my gut, and I've got a pretty big one, I think it was saying that I thought
Calvin
Bartell,
nods in agreement.
Yeah, Bartell is just going to score more. We'll see how it is. We'll have a look at
bizarre,
the end of the year.
But
I went that, and then, yeah. Calvin, you went back in the midfield, and you were pretty lucky, I reckon.
I wouldn't say lucky, dog.
At pick six, who did you end up with?
I took Pendles.
Oh, yeah, nice.
And then I went back for a second time and got Barlow.
Yeah.
Oh, still nice. There on the pile. Yeah, I now, like I tell you what, Barlow had 130 last week. He's back. He needs to be on the
he's a
radar.
Good player, isn't he?
Oh, yeah. Look, he started the year with 2 130s.
Yeah.
Got injured, slowly working his way back into it. He's back, and he's got to be reasonably cheap at the moment.
Yeah,
definitely. Now, yeah, how do you feel that your side ended up, boys? What was your strategy? So Calvin went a couple of mids there to start with, where. See, my first two picks was a back and a forward. So
tactical dog. Tactical
well, dog. See what it is. Oh, just quietly too. When you do have a look at the what are they called? Projections for the week. I'm projected to have the highest score this week, so I must have drafted pretty well.
Tactical dog.
What did you do, Roy?
I actually went Cox with my second pick. I did end up going for a half decent ruck.
Was he the first ruck to go?
He was.
He would have been.
No, definitely not. People were picking
Jacobs.
And I was going to go Mumford.
Yeah.
But someone sneaked
in. So that was interesting because I was always going in and you actually trying to fake me out.
I did try to fake you out with
your son. You told me the other day that you were going to go, trucks are going to be last.
Oh, well, on this discussion about talking to each other about trades, what's this I hear about you two discussing trades on Friday night? Cloakie's name was discussed and I was not questioned as to whether Cloak should be traded or kept.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah,
maybe so don't talk to me about this sort of thing, Warndog.
All right, so with the elite leagues, there's some running this week. All the other celebrity ones are running. I think people are having a ball with those, and it's good fun. You can set up your own, so you can do that at fantasy.afl.com.au. So get those happening, and for a little bit of mid-season drafting, which is really, it's a totally different experience than the start of the season.
It was really good fun.
It's good fun.
Yeah, get involved. All right, hitting up the Twitter this week, we have quite a few questions here. Here are a select few, boys. We want you to nail through these nice and quickly so we can get some answers from people. All right, first one comes from Simon Hedger. He wants to know, Sam Jacobs, do we keep him or trade him?
It's a tough one. His form has been fantastic. Yes. I think he'll only miss a week max.
Yeah, well,
personally,
it even sounds like he may not even miss.
Well, if you've got Derek's on the bench and he does miss, I'd just take it and leave him because Derek's has been going
handy
well.
Handy 80 last week from Derek's.
Yeah, definitely.
So I'd keep. That's my answer.
Yep. Good call. All right, let's go into Mark Ubel. He wants to know, is it time for Stevie J? Time to jump on board him?
It's always time for Stevie, but I don't think just yet.
No, I know. As someone who doesn't own Stevie, I've been just wanting him in the whole time. But his current form, it's not what it was at the start of the year. And his history versus his next two or three opponents is nothing to write home about.
Even Carlton this week.
Yeah,
well, his break-even's 160, so this week's not the right week to get him. But, yeah, down to 573.
I know. When he hits about 550, I'll be jumping.
Damn.
That's a good one. Yeah, that's a sucky thing for you. Now, Roy, this might interest you, this question.
Yes.
Jeremy wants to know, Trent Cotchin, hold or trade?
I'll tell you what, he is getting scores that are just sub-premium, and you want to be, you know, looking at the top eight primos in your midfield, I'd get rid of him. Yeah, he's coming up. His run is not pretty either, especially when you look at matchups that go to him. So I'd be saying, see you later, Cochin.
Well, yep. Oh, right. That's an interesting one. Now, you are making a little bit of a choice with that. If you do trade him, you were talking before about a little bit of a DPP swing.
Oh, no. What? No, he didn't.
Right. Something different this week. But this question might go with it. Bird or Buddy this week? Well, which one would you choose? Because I know that those two are the ones that you're considering.
Well, Buddy doesn't have DPP, so Bird is the word. Bird, though, seriously, his break-even's about 40. He's now a midfielder. He's the one I would go, but he's only just a fraction in front of the in-form Buddy. I think they're both great picks, but you've got to go with the versatility of Bird.
Definitely.
Yeah, I like that too. All right, let's go into this one. Now, upgrading Polek, which I'm sure a lot of people want him to do. Would you go to Stevie J or would you go to Rockliffe?
I'll just leave this one for you, boys.
I tell you what, it's a bit of a no-brainer. Based on form, rob a bank, find the extra money, you got to get Rocky.
Well, it's a lot of money though, that's the thing.
But so if that's the option, then you've got the coin there to do it. Why wouldn't you do it?
Yeah, 50 grand.
Yep, 50 do grand. It. Rob a bank, take out a loan. Don't care. Give the money.
It's 50 grand and 50 points extra
there
a week.
There you go.
50 points extra.
What?
All right. Is that what Roy's Rumorville says? All right. Let's go with Mark. He wants to know, is it worth trading Swan for one of the cheaper, better performing premium mids? That's like Barlow or Goddard, who obviously are doing pretty well at the minute.
Yeah, they are. Bargains.
Would you do that sort of trade? Would you get rid of Swan for that?
He's got Melbourne this week.
I know, but it's a different Melbourne, Calvin. Ruzzi's coach and they're far more defensive.
I tell you what, if you don't have anything else to do...
If that is your downgrade to do another upgrade and your team is pretty well set, yes, that is... There's nothing wrong with that
trade.
We're
up for some interesting times because definitely. Our sides are getting pretty close to being set.
Yep.
How many rookies or how many people would you like to upgrade from your team at the moment?
I still need to fix up Collar Jasny.
Yeah.
And I say Tex Walker, he's got to get to a premium at some point. They're the two guys I've probably got.
After this week, I've only got Langdon
to
upgrade and then it's all luxury trades.
Yeah. So
I'll let you in on a little secret.
Oh, Jesus. Okay.
Okay. You know that question you asked me a minute ago about Bird or Buddy, who to get in?
Oh, is this an exclusive?
It is an exclusive. I'm actually looking at... Talking about that premium downgrade trade, I'm looking at maybe going Cochin down to Bird is the word.
Oh, that'd make you what, 50 odd grand?
Yeah, it makes me enough money to use my DPP action and upgrade Polek to Buddy.
Wow, okay.
Yeah, so there's a double trade by doing a mini downgrade.
I'm trying to picture how that's going to look. God, you've got some DPP going on
there.
You're
like John Nash or whatever that bloke's name was.
Yeah, I am.
All right. Last question here. This comes from Aiden. He wants to know, Matty Jentsch or Pierce Hanley, which one would you bring into your back line?
That's tough.
I'm a Jentsch owner, loved him, but always sitting in the back of my head is going, his good run's going to finish soon. He's not going to be that big.
And there's some crows to come back in at some point.
Yeah, I just in the back of my head, I'm thinking, he's not going to be there in six or 7 weeks.
But on the flip side of that, Hanley is a guy that can draw a tag from time to time.
That is what I was
and
exactly what I was going to say.
Can be different from week to week.
Do you know what? They are both brilliant picks at the moment and underpriced.
Yes.
Jentsch is...
He's at 426 at the moment.
Yeah, and he won't get that tag, or it's very unlikely that he will. His rebound is pretty, attractive and important to the team. So you would look to maybe he might get a forward tag at some stage, but I would be going Jentsch.
Same,
overhand.
Jentsch is the man.
Jentsch.
All right, now that's where we are. All right, good boys, good questioning. Thank you, dog.
Yeah, cheers.
Or answering.
Answering.
All right, thanks for hanging out with us. We're just about to rock and roll for tonight. The things that you need to know, that there are three match day games this weekend. We've got Geelong and Carlton on Friday night. Saturday night, there is a GWS and Bombers game. And then on Monday, Melbourne and Collingwood. And because it's a Monday game, got to be thinking about this for our lockout on Friday night. Our normal lockout, we're not going to know the final 22s for the Melbourne and Collingwood sides. So that's a little bit of a concern.
Oh, man, I didn't think of that.
What's that for?
Well, Swanee, I've scooped it. That he's playing. We won't actually know.
Are you worried?
don't base your trades on that rumour mill. I think he's going to play, but yeah, don't base your trades on that. I'm really concerned about this now.
Oh, well, all right.
I'm backing myself in, but far out.
There is no partial lockout this week, so don't get fooled into that, Roy, one of your mates.
I'm nervous. I'm sweating bullets.
One of your mates got tricked by the partial lockout this week.
Oh, no, listen to this.
Your bad story.
I got a Twitter question asking me, should I take JPK's score? Loophole. Yes.
Okay.
And I was like, yes, definitely.
Yep.
It was like over 120. It was a good score. Yeah. Anyway, on Sunday, I copped a heat tweet, I'd like to call it.
I get them.
And it said I've cost his team like 300 points.
What?
And I was like, what, did someone score like 200 and you missed out on them as captain? I didn't know what was going on. But listen to this. He has put Swallow on the bench, who scored a handy, 120 or so. Yeah. But he's used Langford as the loophole on the ground, captain, late inclusion.
Uh-oh, SpaghettiOs.
Uh-oh, SpaghettiOs, right?
That is a massive lesson.
Can you imagine how that dude felt? How sick would you feel?
He would feel very ill.
Oh, you would feel ill. So this poor dude, Langdon, he could have scored, been a sub, or it could have been worse. He got 90. But
so
still,
but
it's cost him a heap. He's just got Swallow sitting there on the pine.
That hurts. That is devastating. It's always a risk with the
You would never loop with an emergency, though.
No.
I thought that was an unwritten rule.
I'm kind of glad that I didn't this week because, I had Daniel Curry and I would have been sweating because he was first emergency. They were playing against the Eagles.
At the end of the day, it's probably just not worth doing it.
It's not.
Unless it's like a 150 or something. Don't chase it.
Thanks for listening, guys. We'll catch you next time.